Have you ever described a job you had as a nightmare? Maybe it was a crazy demanding boss, a nutty coworker, or just insane everything. If you've ever had a workplace where you had to say, you can't make this shit up on a daily basis, we want to hear about it. Anonymously, of course, on our new podcast, Office Horror Stories. Each week, we'll play back your calls, read your stories, and discuss the craziest, most extreme, and intense workplaces of all time. But to do that, we need your stories. If you have a crazy workplace story in your past or maybe even present, tell us about it anonymously. Just call toll-free 1-833-HATE-JOB. That's 833-HATE-JOB. Or write in your story on our website, officehorrorstories.com. We don't want your name. We don't want the name of the workplace. We just want your story. So you can go ahead and let it all out anonymously. Call toll-free 1-833-HATE-JOB. That's 1-833-HATE-JOB. Or write in your story on our website, officehorrorstories.com. That's officehorrorstories.com. Now you have an outlet to share the craziness that is or was your office. Then stay tuned as we launch the new podcast, Office Horror Stories, this fall. Tell us your story now at officehorrorstories.com. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
It is. It's Halloween time.
Yeah, it is Halloween time. It's
getting close anyway.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, real ghost stories from real people, your calls, and more.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown. Quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Then it is. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Write it at realghoststoriesonline.com. Of course, press subscribe, whatever platform it is you listen to us on. iTunes, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts is iTunes now. It's the same deal. Spotify, whatever it may be. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of our episodes if you're a new listener, because it is October. It's usually the season when most people discover us. This is a show that goes on year-round. We don't just do this thing around Halloween. This is every single week. All year long, you get a little bit of Halloween every single day. So if you're new to the show, welcome. And please do press subscribe. You want to support the show? We got bonus material, bonus episode, full episode with our best ghost stories on for you. Every single week, EPP bonus episode. You subscribe to that at ghostpodcast.com. Or if you use Patreon, patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hi.
So it's up to you today. Ghost stories and more. That's why I prefaced the intro of the show. We can do car tips. We can do pancake recipes. A good pumpkin spice one I could share. Or litter box cleaning tips.
I have something we could talk about.
What's that?
Okay, so we recently moved.
Mm-hmm.
And in the process of finding our new house, there was one house that gave me and our daughters vibes. Did you get any vibes from any houses?
No.
No, not at all?
I did play the vibes in one house. They had like a marimba I don't even know what marimba. I remember like marimba was like on the keyboard. It was like an option of like press this. It's a marimba.
Oh, I don't know.
Never seen one. Did I get any vibes? I honestly, not that stands out to me. Yeah. I mean, like, there's some houses I didn't like. That you know. No, I can't say I got vibes.
No.
No? Tell me about your vibes.
Well, there was this one house, and it was one of the smaller houses we looked at.
Uh-huh.
But it was one of the older houses, and not old at all, but still older than what we were really focusing on.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we were walking around. It didn't take us long to get out, and I didn't feel like anything bad was there, but I got this overwhelming sense that the man, like the husband, had passed away.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he passed away in the house or not, but it was just, he was gone, but he was still there watching over the wife. And it's like the wife's life revolved around the granddaughter. That was all that I got just from walking through there. And there was really nothing to tell me that. There weren't family pictures or anything up. It was just, that was the message that I was picking up.
Mm-hmm.
So when we got out in the car, Libby's like, I got vibes in there. I was like, okay, well, and I told her what I got. She goes, oh my God, that's the same thing that I got.
I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah.
I remember that. It was, and I was walking around insulting the house as we were going.
You were being an asshole.
I really was. And so, and then when you told me that, I'm like, oh, I probably insulted the ghost.
Yeah.
I'm like, I love your 1993 decor. It's like, more ivy, please. Yeah, I mean, it was, I think I said to the girls, I'm like, this is what 93 looked like.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, it was like going back in time, because it was a nice house. It was, and if it was 1993, you would have walked in there and went, holy shit, they are decorated. This is looking good.
Mm-hmm.
This is great. I don't want to stay too long because I don't want to miss Kate and Allie. It's a brand new episode tonight on ABC. That's what you would have been thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, it's 2019, and yeah, you know, it's like walking in, and the girls must think of it this way, because I remember going and we went to open houses all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We never moved other than like when I was three. But like from like that point, we would just go to open houses for fun.
Yeah.
I don't know why. We just did. It was like free entertainment, I guess. It was, you know, cheap. There's no admission. But I remember going into so many houses in the 90s, and I loved going into houses that were like from the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And you could tell it was a couple that, you know, the 60s, sometimes you'd even get to 50s, where that was like their time.
Yeah.
You know, and that seems to be how I think most people work generationally. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just how it is. You kind of tend to decorate with the decade that, you know, I guess you were kind of in your prime
mm-hmm.
at. And then you kind of stay there. At least a lot of folks do.
Right.
And it doesn't ever really change. And in some cases, some homes, it deteriorates and gets kind of like, oh, shit, you know, this might be, you know, what's living behind that. And in others, it looks pristine. It still looks like it's 1960.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved looking in those houses because it was like going back in time.
Sure.
It was a way to see how things actually looked, because to us, we had black and white photos. We never, seeing that shit in color was like, this is real.
Mm-hmm.
Not like I doubted it, but it put a whole new level of real to it. Whereas today, kids can look at HD videos and like, no big deal. 90s is pretty damn clear
mm-hmm.
As to what that looked like. But that was different. So I guess our kids must look at going into a 90s house the same sort of a way.
Yeah, probably so. And, you know, that's kind of the decor of the grandparents mm-hmm. now. You know, we progressed to that point.
Yeah. 90s is what grandma and grandpa, that was, you know, mm-hmm. 30s and 40s, mm-hmm. You know, time. And it's interesting. Huh? And in another way, I also walk through those houses where you see that sort of decor, and it stands out to me as dated, but it also doesn't at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, I look at it going, part of me is like, yeah, there's like the 12-year-old version of me that's still speaking and saying, oh, nice house. Like, I like the ivy. You know? Like, that right. looks really good. I can't wait to watch TGIF. Oh, wait, that doesn't go on anymore. But that's kind of, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I suppose my awe and just wow to the 60s houses and my parents' ambivalence to that is the same sort of thing. It's like, yeah, and?
Yeah, but the 60s. You know, style homes with the 60s decor.
Yeah.
So much cooler than the 90s.
Completely.
Yeah. So there's no odds. Like, oh, that's too bad.
I would love to find a 1960s house
mm-hmm.
and that, now I don't know that I want to live in it, but I'd love to like just end up like going and seeing one that's yeah. like still in that sort of like 90s shape.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that would put the owners at like 110 or 120 now. Maybe it exists. Every once in a while you hear the story of like the time capsule house that somebody finds or an apartment that somebody mm-hmm. found, and they found out Thelma has been in it and she's actually mummified now, but no family ever knew that she was gone, and she's sitting in the recliner and everything else is there.
That's gross.
It happens. Truly happens. Be great. Jen was, by the way, looking up as we were going through houses, the ones that we were seriously considering.
There's a wonderful website.
We've talked about it on the air before.
We have?
And yeah, I mean, they've never, they're not like an advertiser or anything, but they've, people have mentioned it and other things. It's about, you can look up, I'm not going to say the name of it because I don't want to give free advertising, but it was, it's a website about looking up if somebody died inside of a home.
Yeah.
Like, and like it, I reworded that, so it's not quite saying the title.
And it's accurate.
Yeah.
To probably the mid 80s. Before that, the records are more difficult to track down.
Okay.
So if the house is built, you know, from that point forward, it's pretty accurate.
Okay. And that's, you know, the houses we're looking at were, you know, were from that time window. So
that's why I highly used it 3 times.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories to share your real ghost stories online. I put online in the wrong area there. Your real ghost stories on our show. Let's go to a caller. Hi. What's your ghost story?
Hey, Tony. I wanted to share my story with you. I enjoy your podcast so much. I wanted to share my story with you that happened when we rented an apartment while my husband was transferring from one law job to another law job. So while we were waiting for our house to be ready, we stayed in an apartment. We rented it from a lady. We didn't really like the apartment complexes that were in the area, so we found an apartment. It was kind of, I guess you would say, over a house. Was it part of like a I don't know if you would call it a duplex or what it was, but it was like an older, I guess it wouldn't be a duplex. It was like an older Victorian style home. So we had the entire top floor and she lived on the bottom floor. And she was really nice. She gave us like a huge deal. In the area that we lived in, the rent, the going rent was about $1,600 to about $2,000. A month. She gave it to us for a little less than $700 a month. And I thought, wow, what a steal. And the place was beautiful. It had beautiful arched entryways into each of the rooms. It had this really nice area where you could just kind of walk out. And it was sort of outside, sort of inside. It was just an amazing apartment. I really liked living there. When we moved there, though, we started having things happen. Well, let me backtrack a little bit. My husband got down first because he had to start his job, and our kids were younger, so they were still in school. So I was staying back to let them finish up the school, and then we were also closing on the house that we were selling. So he got there about, I would say, maybe a week before we did. And he, you know, would call home every night. And he said, man, the light bulb just cannot stay lit in this place. And I'm like, well, that's funny, because usually if you think about it, you probably put them all in at one time, so they're all going to burn out at the same time. And he's like, yeah, but I'm constantly changing them, and they don't just burn out. Some of them, like, break and explode. And I'm like, what? They break and explode? And he said, yeah. And I'm like, that's really odd. Maybe you should go downstairs and ask her, you know, the last time she's had an electrician come in. And so, you know, we were, you know, pretty, you know, he's a lawyer, so we're a little bit well off. So, you know, he asked her, hey, have you had an electrician come in? You know, there's some things going on upstairs. I'll pay for it, no problem. You know, because we kind of felt bad that she was an older lady. I believe she was maybe like in her late 70s, early 80s. Very nice lady. But she didn't want to have an electrician come in. And he's like, okay, well, this is just weird. I'm sick of changing light bulbs. So I get down there with the kids, and same thing. They weren't exploding, but it was just constantly burning out. Or you would go to bed thinking you turned all the lights off, and then wake up in the morning and all the lights would be on. Every single light would be on. And it's funny, my son, he was about maybe 7 at the time. He came into our room on a Saturday morning, and he's like, oh, I must have been so tired. I fell asleep with the light on. Well, I knew he didn't fall asleep with the light on because we tucked him in, but he said that the light was on, and sure enough, it was on. It was just really odd. We also had two cats, which was nice because she let us have our kitty cats, and they just would act strange. Normally, they were outgoing. They weren't, you know, like your typical bitchy cats. They were kind of like dogs. They were kind of cool. And they became very reclusive and constantly hiding under the beds. You could not even get these normally social cats to come out and play. And then it turned into things disappearing. It started with my husband's work shirts. So he would take his shirts to the dry cleaner every Saturday, and he brought, you know, would bring them home Monday afternoon after work, and he'd always kind of hang them. We had like this little alcove in the doorway where we walked in, and he'd hang them up there, and then eventually I'd get around to putting them in the closet. Well, he had five work shirts that just vanished. To this day, we have no idea where they were. You know, they're about $70 a piece, all gone. So, you know, we had to run out and buy new shirts for him. But it was strange things like that. My daughter had a turnabout dance that she was going to, and her dress that we picked out, shopped for, you're going to learn, Tony and Jenny, how teenage girls are. And that dress completely disappeared. We asked her brother. We thought maybe the lady from downstairs came up, but nowhere to be found. Never found this dress. It was the strangest thing. And it started to get stranger when I was home alone, because the kids would go to school, husband would go to work, and it would feel like I was being watched, or sometimes the TV would come on by itself or shut off by itself, or I would be cooking soup on the stove and then the stove would turn off. So it was nothing like really mean or, you know, like out to get us or anything. It was just like just weird things. And then before we moved out, it was maybe about a month before we moved out. We only lived there for about 5 months because we were going to move into a house and the house fell through that we were moving in. So we decided to take our time because we really liked the apartment, decided to take our time, continue to look. And then finally we found a house, but we couldn't close on it for a month. So we're still here, and it was about almost exactly a month to the day before we moved out. And I woke up, it was, I don't know, like a, I think it was a holiday because everyone was home. And I, out of my eye, like in my vision, you know, it was pretty early in the morning. I saw somebody walk out of our bedroom. It looked like a, maybe, I'm going to guess, maybe he was like between 5'10", 6 feet tall. I knew it wasn't my husband because he was right next to me. And he had a strange haircut. And I watched him walk out of the room. It was very odd. And he didn't look see-through. There was nothing creepy about him. He looked like, ironically, he had a white dress shirt on, which I'm wondering if he was the culprit of the husband's white shirts that had disappeared before that. And it was just odd. So I shook my husband awake and I asked him, and I said, let's go check on the kids, because the kids' rooms were across the hall. And it looked like he was turning toward my daughter's room. So my husband got up, he walked around the whole apartment, couldn't find anyone, went downstairs. You know, it was pretty early, so we didn't bother the lady downstairs. We kind of had a connecting stairway, but the door up by us locked, and then the door down by her locked. So you couldn't get in there, and there was nobody to be found. The next night, or the next morning, I should say, pretty much exactly the same time, something pulled my foot, and it was pretty significant because it pulled my sock right off my foot. Woke me up, same thing. I saw this guy walking out of the bedroom. It was extremely eerie. Those were the only two times that I had actually seen anything. I don't think any of us have ever had a paranormal experience prior to that. That was the only thing, but no one else saw this man except me or was touched. They were the victims of other things, things disappearing and things like that. But I thought I would share that with you. I love your podcast and we listen as a family, and keep up the good work. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
I think that is so funny that the dress shirts were disappearing, and then when she saw him, he's wearing a dress shirt.
So how does that work when the ghost borrows? Does it like then become like something that it can materialize and dematerialize?
I don't know.
That's just interesting.
It's funny
that it can do that sort of a thing. Creepy story of what's going on around that house. Of you know, she thought it was her husband, and then it wasn't, and yeah. Looked a little bit different.
Yeah, well, at least it was just an apartment that they knew was going to be temporary, so mm-hmm. they didn't have to stay long. But still, that'd be hard if your stuff keeps going missing.
It'd be fun to do for about a month. Want me to look into that?
No.
We could try that. Just
I don't think so.
Be like, yeah, it'll take a little bit longer and haunted apartment.
No.
It'd be great. I wonder if that could be a thing. If like you really, if like there would ever be a market for that, where people like are seeking out. They don't want to quite buy a haunted house because they're not committed to living in one, but they want the experience. They want the haunt experience, and they just want to, you know, do that for about a month and then call it good. If you like just got like an old apartment building and then you fixed it up somewhat, and then to guarantee it's haunted, you do a whole bunch of like rituals in it, and you invite all sorts of, you know, this or that that's going to conjure shit up. And then there you go. Then you're open. It's like, oh, we just refreshed it last week with some new, you know, whatever. You know, we did this here or that there. I wonder if that could ever be a thing.
No.
Yeah.
I don't think
so. You sure?
No.
I could see it like in like towns that are really big into ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
Guaranteed haunted, you know?
No.
The new like line of La Quintas. It's like La Quinta ghost. And then you're guaranteed it's going to be haunted. I don't know. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your ghost stories with us. Let's hear yours. Hi.
Hi, my name's Joey. I'm calling because I had an experience at one of my aunt's house in Oklahoma whenever I was, I don't know, I might have been 8 or 9, but and the reason that this has come back up is because we recently went back to Oklahoma. I reside in Texas, so we went to visit family in Oklahoma, and my daughter was playing with her cousin, and they're sitting in one of the bedrooms. It used to be one of my cousins, but they are grown and moved out, so it's an empty bedroom now. But sitting in there playing, my daughter comes into the living room, and she's telling me that there's someone tapping on the window outside. And I'm not entirely, I was thinking maybe was one of the neighborhood kids that my daughter just didn't know, because obviously we don't live there. So I go outside and I check it out, and there's nobody around, no kids around. It's actually a rather quiet day, but go back inside, tell my daughter that, you know, might be a bug hitting the window or something. So they have a lounge chair in the room that they're playing in. So I go in there and I'm sitting down, I'm messing around on my phone, and I start hearing the tapping. So I kind of peek over and look through the blinds that were halfway tilted, and sure enough, there was a hand that was reaching up, tapping on the window, and then gone. It gave me the absolute chills. So I grabbed my daughter and I grabbed my cousin's daughter, and we went over to my other aunt's house. Didn't tell anybody because I didn't want to think about it. We were on the vacation. my daughter asked, you know, if I saw who was tapping, and I told her that it just looked like a bug. But the reason it's bugging me is because I was, like I said, 8 or 9 years old, playing in that same room with one of my cousins. And it was just me and her that were home. And we're sitting on the floor, we're playing with Legos or something, and we keep hearing a knocking. But like I said, we're the only ones home, and we keep hearing it. So we ignore it, and we're like, okay, you know, old house, maybe some pipes banging around. But sitting there playing, and next thing we know, a shoe is thrown off the bed and hit my cousin in the head. So we panic and we rush out of the house and go to the aunt's house that I went to with my daughter and my cousin's daughter. But anywho, yeah, I will not be going back to that house, at least not with my daughter and stuff. You know, that kind of stuff worries me. It's probably just because I've seen too many horror films and stuff like that. But anywho, that's my story. I appreciate the time and hope you guys have a good one. I really appreciate the show you guys do. Have a good one. Bye.
I guess at least it seems just mischievous and not super evil. I mean, throwing a shoe and hitting somebody in the head, I mean, it could be worse than the tapping on the window.
Could sure.
be worse. But I bet it's the same thing all those years apart.
Just still hanging out,
mm-hmm.
still lingering and never truly going away.
Yeah.
Probably. I understand. And he probably is right. Just seeing the horror movies for so long, it's like, oh, what if it's this or that?
Yeah.
It's probably really just a fairly peaceful one. But yeah, you never know. 855-853-4802. Hi.
Hey, guys. Had a little story to share with you. Sorry about all the background noise. I'm actually on a construction site right now. Story's actually about a construction site. I work out in Atlanta, usually in the Midtown areas. Well, when I first started, there was a place in the quote-unquote hood of Atlanta, the more dangerous side, and we were doing a renovation on some apartment homes, and it was supposed to be just a low-grade, you know, get-in, get-out renovation, nothing big. Well, a few guys around the site had kind of made this big point about, oh, yeah, be careful. Jim walks around the site. Now, you know, I was pretty new to construction at the time, so kind of sitting there going, okay, well, I don't know who Jim is, but okay, whatever. Turned out that about once a month, maybe 2 or 3 times a month, everybody would stop and say a prayer for Jim, and I'm not a very big religious guy, so, you know, I participated, but it was just kind of one of those, okay, well, this is kind of weird. You know, why are we saying a prayer for somebody on the site? That's just weird. Well, I got kind of curious after about the second month being there and started asking questions, you know, hey, who's Jim? Where's Jim? Who's Jim work for? Stuff like that. And nobody would really tell me anything. So I went to one of the site leaders who kind of told me, hey, look, you know, we don't ask questions about him. Because then he'll come. So I was like, excuse me, you know, is this a bad thing? Apparently everybody likes him, so, you know, what's going on? So I continue to ask questions. I continue to, you know, pry deeper into this gym person. And after a few months, I start realizing that Jim's not at the site. Because Jim's not alive. And the more I dive into it, the more I realize Jim was the owner of the company we were working with. And he was about 80 years old. And he had actually passed away on a site very close to there where he had fallen off the top of the building and his tie-off had snapped. Well, apparently Jim's son is the new owner and Jim followed him. So when the son's on site, Jim's on site. And they said, Jim's gotten cranky over the years. Now, I never really saw anything there. Only had one incident where I was there with some of the higher ups and I was showing off some of the stuff I'd been doing. And as I got down to one of the walls, the framework in the wall had been cut in half. And it was a very sloppy cut. It wasn't anything a machine could have done. And God knows a human couldn't have cut metal by, you know, with their hands. So, you know, we kind of investigated it, and Jim's son was there at the time. His name was Jonathan. And Jonathan kind of laughed about it. Said something about, yeah, you've been talking about Dad too much. That's what he does. I don't know. And the whole experience was kind of crazy. Kind of made me look at it and go, oh, you know, this can happen on a construction site. You know, this place isn't even built yet. You know, you always hear about these older places being haunted. You never look at the places that are still being built that are haunted. But that's all I got for you for now. I got a few other stories I plan on calling in for. And you guys keep up the good work. Thanks for listening.
I think that would be my biggest fear, is that a ghost messed with a build and it's not quite safe.
You know? Like, they're like, fuck it, I'm dead. You're going to die now, too.
Yeah.
That'd be a really vindictive ghost. I suppose it could happen.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd really be comfortable with a work site. You know, just knowing that all the folks who are working on this work site were constantly kind of on edge and nervous about the ghost of the old foreman being around, I would think they would leave room for a lot of error, where it's like, oh, you forgot to get those studs in correctly, you know, because you were afraid, you know, or it could lend it to being super done correct.
Mm-hmm.
It could really go one of two ways, either distraction and paranoia, and then things don't get done right, or things are getting uber done right because they don't want to upset the ghost.
Yeah.
So it just depends, you know, the personality of the individual doing the task.
Right.
So, oh, there you go. Good one. Thank you for sharing that that story with us. I'm glad, you know, it didn't end in some sort of gore story. He died on the job. Okay.
Right.
I understand. It wasn't like, and then he fell in the rebar, like seven rebars. One went through his skull. One went through his heart. One went through his crotch. And then the other.
God, tell me.
It's like, oh shit, that's a massively horrible story. I understand the haunting then.
Uh-huh.
And then they reuse that same rebar to reinforce something.
That's gross.
And never rinsed it off. Ah, there you go. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, become an EPP, an extra podcast person. Ghostpodcast.com is the place to do that, or patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month gets you access to everything. All right. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.